السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. پلیز دعا نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ہیز ٹاٹ اس ٹو ریڈ وین اٹ از کولڈ ویدر. لا الہ الا اللہ ما اشد برد ھذا الیوم. لا الہ الا اللہ, دیٹ وی آل نو دا میننگ. ما اشد برد ھذا الیوم, دیٹ ہاؤ سیویئر از دا کولڈ آف دس ڈے. دین امیڈیٹلی نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ٹرنز اور اٹینشن ٹو دا آخرہ. ون از ٹو جس کمپلین, when it's very cold we will complain, when it's very hot we will complain, if it's windy we will complain, if it's rainy we will complain. Whichever way our nafs or our dunya is being affected, we will find a complaint. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every situation turn our attention to the akhirat, because that is where we are journeying, that is where we are going. So we must keep that in mind. Immediately after that, Allahumma ajirni min zamhariri jahannam. That, O Allah, protect me from the zamharir of jahannam. So some shurra, they explain that this is a place in jahannam, extremely cold, where the coal burns. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is turning our attention to that, that this cold that we are experiencing is nothing in comparison to that cold. So we must think about that cold. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We protect ourselves from guna, stay away from sins, and try to carry out as much good deeds as possible. So we were discussing over the past few weeks with regards to tasheeh niyat. And the niyat has to be correct. In anything, the niyat has to be correct. So with tasheeh niyat, there has to also be tasheeh amal. Amal also, whatever action we're carrying out, that action also has to be correct. So we now have to ponder over what tasheeh amal is. Consider the acts that one wishes to perform. Tasheeh amal is that one should see that one performs them within the boundaries that Shariat has laid down. This is tasheeh amal. Not to observe these limits, either from the aspect of exceeding them, a person is going beyond the limits now, or not living up to them. Now if somebody says, no, it's Qurbani, everybody is slaughtering to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I'm going to slaughter one elephant. Yeah, I'm going to slaughter an elephant. Because the meat don't go to Allah Pak, the blood don't go. I want to show Allah Ta'ala how much I love Allah. So this is not tasheeh amal. He is going beyond the limits now. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, we learn that we must keep a one-fist length beard. So if the beard go a little bit longer than that, well, no problem. But now if somebody got a beard and it is growing very long, it's growing very long, where it's looking untidy, or it's becoming a hindrance in his work, etc. Now if he said, no, I am not going to touch the beard at all. Now he's going over the limits. Who asked him to go over the limits like that? On the other hand, a person says, well, as it is, the meat and the blood is not going to Allah Pak, so why must even slaughter a sheep or goat? I'll slaughter one chicken. So then he is not living up. He is not living up to the action. He is not even coming up to the action. So he mustn't go over the bounds too, and then he mustn't be right down also. He must just do what Shariat wants of him or her. So when the limits are exceeded, it will not be tasheeh amal. And when there is no tasheeh amal, then in actual fact it is a reflection that there is no tasheeh niyat. In actual fact, this shows that there is no tasheeh niyat. If the niyat was correct, that I am doing this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously I will see how is it going to make my Allah happy. So my Allah has given the shariat and He has given the sunnat, that's how I have to do it. Now the moment I am not listening to the shariat and the sunnat, and I am doing my own thing, and I'm saying, no, I am doing for the pleasure of Allah. I am not doing for the pleasure of Allah. I am not doing for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So take a simple example, right? So tonight is a cold night. So you go home now and you put the heater on. You put one heater on, you put two heaters on, you put three heaters on. Now you make the room like a sauna. One is, the room is for sauna. All the students, they're learning Urdu, so they know now. They caught up the joke. Sauna means to sleep. So the room is for sleeping. Now this person turned the room into a sauna, English sauna. It may be so hot. So why he is making the room warm? He said, no, it's for the comfort of my wife. She's feeling cold. I'm going out of my way to make her feel warm. But now she is saying that, you know what, it's too hot. It's too hot. One heater is enough. I mean, the room too hot now. The room is too hot. Can't take it now. And he says, no, my niyat is to please you. Why are you not accepting this thing from me now? Why are you not appreciating my action? So if he wanted to please her, then he will bring the temperature to what will make her happy. Not what he thinks in his logic is going to make her happy. No. So like that in our deen also, we mustn't use our logic to think how I'm going to make Allah happy, no. I must do what Allah wants of me. Now say for example, a person, he has got debts. He's got a lot of debts. Now zakat is not farz on him. His debts are far over his assets, his wealth. And he's saying, No, I want to make Allah Pak happy, I'm going to pay zakat. His zakat is not farz on him. What zakat he is going to pay? The more important thing, what Allah Pak wants him to do, if he got the extra money, he must go and pay his debts. Now he's not paying his debts, that he's not doing, but he's saying, no, I'm going to take out zakat. What is he going to take out zakat on? So if he says, no, but my niyat is right. My niyat is right. His niyat is not right. If his niyat was right, then his amal will be right. It's just reminding me of one malfuz of our Hazrat Mohammed Patel Sam Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat mentioned once that many people, they say, that my iman is in my heart. My iman is in my heart. You can't judge me. My iman is in my heart. So if a person is involved in gunas, he's in doing all haram, everything, right? So if his elder brother has to reprimand him or somebody has to bring it to his attention, so he said, "But my iman is in Mahad, between me and Ma'Allah." So Hazrat mentioned this, he said, "You see, it can happen sometime that a person's outward actions are correct. Outwardly, everything he's doing is correct. And his inside is corrupt. That's possible. Like how the munafiqs, the hypocrites, their outside actions sometimes were very good. But inside was corrupted. So that is possible. But where a person's inside is correct and the outward is corrupt, that's not possible. If the inside is correct, then automatically the outside will also be correct. The outside will also be correct. Not to say we must judge anybody. We must look into ourselves, you know. Look into ourselves. So when we're not doing that amal, how Allah Pak wants us to do that amal, then that means that our niyat is not right. If there's no tasheeh amal, that means there's no tasheeh niyat. We are just fooling ourselves by saying, no, I got noble intentions, I got very good intentions. See, sometime, whether it's an Eid occasion, whether it's a nikah occasion, whatever, now the person says, when does the family get to meet? When do they get to meet, to eat meat? Their own family is not really meeting. So never mind, it's a nikah occasion. We'll have a big do. We'll hire the big hall. And one time, we'll strengthen family ties. So if somebody has to bring it to that person's attention, that see, nikah now, you mustn't have all this doom dam and you mustn't go through so much of expenses, it's a simple affair, you know. So he says, no, but I'm doing it for family ties. Right? I'm doing it for family ties. And my niyat is good. Right? But now there is no proper parda, there is so much of extravagance. Person is going, you know, out of his way. Sometimes he's even incurring some debts also, and putting everybody into taklif also. And he said, no, I'm doing for family ties. My niyat is family ties. Right? So he is utilizing his logic. He's doing something that his nafs wants him to do. Right? His nafs wants something, that's why he's doing it. His niyat is not the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If his niyat is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then he will check into Shariat, he will check into Sunnat, that how does my Allah Ta'ala want me to do this? I must do it according to that. This is why Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, that these are the limits set by Allah. That is to say that these are the limits laid down by Allah Ta'ala to be observed in performing one's a'mal. These limits should not be transgressed, neither by exceeding them nor by cutting them short. So when a person carries out the action as it's supposed to be carried out, then this is termed adl. Adal, i'tidal, equilibrium. So when would it be said that there is tasheeh amal? It will be so when the acts are carried out without exceeding the limits set for them and they fall within the boundaries. The deeds are correct. They are falling within the boundaries of Shariat and Sunnat. Then there is acceptance. Sometimes you get a person, he's running a big business, right? Running a big business. And he's missing namazes also. due to that business, he doesn't even have time to fulfill his family obligations. Hukukullah he is not fulfilling. Hukukul ibad he is not fulfilling. Right? So somebody speaks to him and says to him that, see brother, why don't you downsize? Downscale a little bit. So you got less pressure. You got less pressure. You got less commitment. Right? You'll be able to get your namazes. You'll be able to see to your wife, your children. You'll be able to see to yourself also. So he says, see, I'm employing 1,000 people. Right? For 1,000 people's rosy, they are dependent on me. Now if I downscale, how many people will lose their rosy? So never mind, you know, I'll take care of them. So is that amal correct? That amal is incorrect. That niyat is incorrect. Allah Pak never asked him to look after 1,000 people. Allah Pak told him to read his namaz. Allah Pak told him to fulfill the hukuk of his wife, of his children. Now he's not doing that, but shaitan has intoxicated him into thinking the 1,000 families' rosy is dependent on him. So there's no tasheeh niyat, there's no tasheeh amal. And worse, there's no tasheeh aqaid. Because he is now thinking that he is the Razzaq. He is the provider. He became the provider. He is not the provider. Allah Ta'ala is the provider. So that is the third thing. That there must be tasheeh aqaid. Aqeedah has to be correct. If the aqeedah is incorrect, then there is nothing. The person has lost everything. If the aqeedah is not correct. So the third aspect is to believe in one's creator, to believe in Allah Ta'ala in the correct manner. So in the istilah of Shariat, we call it aqaid, our beliefs, etc. In common terms, it is known as iman. Your iman must be right. Iman is connected to the batin, to the inside, right? Just as tasheeh niyat is connected with the batin, the amal will be outside. But the aqidah and the niyat, these are connected with the batin, they are connected with the inside, you can't see them. The intention which is connected to the batin is dependent on tasheeh aqaid. The aqaid has to be right. It is also termed tasheeh iman. To put a person's iman, we must put our iman right. So if there are batil beliefs, if there are false beliefs, then no matter how beautiful the action may be, right? See, Take one example, right? We are slaughtering one wonderful bull for Qurbani. Right? One person in the shares, seven shares, so seven of us, we got together and we bought this bull. One person in the seven, he is not slaughtering for the purpose of Qurbani. He is not slaughtering for the purpose of Akika. Right? He is slaughtering for meat. Right? Slaughtering this for the meat or whatever. Or he's going to put in his butcher shop and sell. Right? Now what happens? That wrong niyat of his, what it does? Nobody's Qurbani is accepted there, isn't it? The whole animal has corrupted the whole animal. Nobody's qurbani is correct. Right? If a person is making a long sajda, right? Beautiful sajda, His posture is correct. Everything is, you look at him, his toes are right, his fingers are right, nose, forehead, his elbows are not touching the sides, nothing, everything is 100%. And he's facing in the correct direction, everything. Now you look and say, what a sajda this man is making. After he makes the sajda, he says he's making sajda to one peer sahab. His akidah is corrupt. Will that sajda be accepted? The sajda is not accepted. So, tasheeh niyat, tasheeh amal, tasheeh aqaid. All these things have to be correct. In order for these things to be correct, there has to be ilm. Has to be ilm. See, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the first verses of the Quran Sharif, the first verses of the Quran Sharif is to do with acquiring ilm. All about ilm. Itara, read. But read in whose name? In Allah Ta'ala's name. That being who created, created man from a cloth. And then, Iqra, again. Iqra, wa rabbuka al-akram. Alladhi 'allama bil qalam. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Now Allah Ta'ala could have sent any verses down, first verses of the Qur'an Sharif. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in the first verses of the Qur'an Sharif, Allah Ta'ala is instructing, read. Allah Ta'ala is talking about ilm. It's a big injustice on our part, that we have extended this word ilm in the Quran Sharif to include secular sciences. When Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif talks about ilm, it is only referring to the ilm of Shariat, the ilm of Quran Sharif, the ilm of Hadith Sharif, the ilm of Deen. It's only referring to that. It's not referring to other sciences. Other sciences, It is something a person studies for his benefit in the dunya maybe, and for him to acquire some rozi. But when Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif talks about ilm, then ilm is referring to this knowledge of Quran Sharif, knowledge of Hadith Sharif, knowledge of deen. So if this ilm is not there, can anything be correct? Can niyat be correct? Can the amal be correct? Can the aqidah be correct? Nothing will be correct. Ilm has to be there. This is why our madaris, our makatib, the places where ilm is being imparted, these are the fortresses of deen. I'm just trying to think. Gee, there is a person, he's an engineer, he comes here to the madrasa also, all our work here, so he's, he guides the builder and makes sure everything is according to proper spec. So sometimes I feel bad because He doesn't take any payment also. And he gives his time. So this last Saturday, when he came, normally he comes on a Saturday morning and he goes through everything. This last Saturday when he came, so I'm apologizing to him and I'm thanking him for all his efforts. So he says to me, "No, Ma, this is our duty. Then he said that, "You see, Maulana, if you have to do some research, you will find that many years ago, the Jews, they have begun plotting how they can close our madaris. And if they can't close it, how they can corrupt it. How they can corrupt what is being taught there, what is the focus there, how they can corrupt it. Either they must close it down or they must corrupt it, one of the two." So he says that we must build as many as we can. Because without this ilm will be lost. He said, "All these other things, now we become engineers, we do this, we do that. That's all for the dunya. But for the preservation of our iman, we need our madrasas. We need our darbunums. So we must build as many as we can. And I want to be involved in as many as..." So I remember one day, in one discussion, so one of the brothers was telling him, "Hey, please, man, you know what? We need this thing now, you know? Some calm, some drawing, whatever." So he said to that person, he said, "Don't worry, you'll have it. Not because I'm giving you my word, but because I finished making my commitment to Allah Ta'ala. So my commitment is to Allah Ta'ala, so you'll have it, don't worry." So the point here was, we're talking about ilm. So we mustn't take this thing lightly. We mustn't take this thing lightly. Sometime, I have to show you one, two messages I get. And sometimes you will wonder where our thinking is gone, the thinking of the ummah, you know. Allah Ta'ala knows best. So this ilm of Shariat, because if we don't understand the ilm of Shariat, then what are we going to preserve? We don't know what we're preserving. And if this becomes corrupted, we'll be preserving the wrong thing. See, in our own country, you people didn't see it, right? In our own country, there was a lot of bid'at. Most of our families were involved in a lot of bid'at. They didn't know any better, right? Funny things they were doing. With ilm, with the work of tabligh, going around calling the people to the masjid, you know, bringing the people to the masjid, connecting them to the masjid. Then in the masajid now, the ulama giving encouragement, educating. Then from there, that father here, he said, "You know what, I'm sending my child to become Hafiz, I'm sending my child to become Alim." Right? Now if you look in our country, almost every family there is one Alim, there is Hafiz. But then what is happening? We are losing qadr of what Allah is giving us. When it's becoming arm, then we're losing the value of it. Now, sometime you see a student of deen. The person student of deen is studying kitabs, and he's saying he wants to become an alim and everything. But you see him in the holiday, he's in shirt and pant. No topi also. He's wearing shirt and pant, all this name things and all that. And no topi on the head also. But he's saying he wants to study to become an alim. So it shows that he doesn't have the qadr of what he's doing. That Allah Ta'ala is giving me what an opportunity, and I'm not valuing it, I'm not treasuring it. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. There's a lot, you know, that you can expand on this topic. Razaji Rahmatullah Ali takes our mind back now to the beginning. If you can remember how the majlis started, that this person wrote a letter and he was overeating to his heart's content, not to his stomach's full. So Azadi told him, eat to your stomach full, don't eat to your heart content. Right? So he wrote back and he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. So Azadi Rahmatullah Ali gives one example here and we'll conclude with this. See, you get two seasons, right? You get summer, you get winter, the opposites. So now if it is winter, it's winter like now, a day like this, and the person is sitting outside, he got no jacket, no blanket, nothing, he's sitting there outside, and he's saying it's ice cold, it's freezing, and now he gets double pneumonia, and then he says, due to the cold weather, I got this problem. So what will we say to him? Bhai, this was your own stupidity. You brought this upon yourself. You can't blame takdir and all these things. You brought it upon yourself. When it was cold, you should have been indoors, you should have been dressed appropriately. All that was within your control. But you didn't do all of that. You went and sat on outside in the cold, no jacket, no shawl, no blanket, no warm hat, nothing. And now you're sitting with double pneumonia. This is your own stupidity, your own foolishness. Right? So the same rule applies to a person who says, I can't do this and I can't do that. For things that Allah Ta'ala has given him the ability. Allah Ta'ala has given him the control and given him the ability. So this is zulam. This is zulam. He is bringing zulam upon himself. Right? He is bringing difficulty and zulam and oppression upon himself. Injustice upon himself. Because he doesn't want to fight his nafs. And he's putting himself into a situation where he knows that his nafs is too weak to say no. A person wants to, he doesn't want to smoke. He's a smoker. He says, I want to give up smoking. But he's buying cigarette. He's buying vape or what? I don't know what this smoking, vape, eat, what? What? What you're buying now? Disposables and you know what. So if he doesn't want to do it, why is he buying it? If he doesn't want to do it, why is he befriending somebody who's doing it? Then he says, very hard to give it up. Very hard to give it up. But he is putting himself into that situation, a situation that Allah has given him the ability not to put himself into. He's putting himself into that situation. As the Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he said, the person, he'll come to the dawat, he'll eat all the cakes, all the barfi, all the everything. Then when they give him tea, then he'll ask, anybody got candoral? Candoral. They still make candoral. Maybe something else now. He'll eat everything. After that tea time, he'll ask, they got candoral. He said, everything he'll eat, then cold drink time, they got Diet Coke. Diet Coke. Got tab, Diet Coke. So this is our situation, you know. So there has to be that fight against the nafs. Each one of us, we have our weaknesses. I have mine, you have yours. But we can't say things that are ma'mur biha, Allah Ta'ala has instructed us to do it. We can't say we don't have the ability to do it. And things that are manhi an, Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from it, we can't say that I don't have the strength to stay away from it. Because Allah Ta'ala is not going to instruct us to do something that He didn't give us the ability to do. And He's not going to prohibit us from something if He didn't give us the ability to abstain from it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll just discuss a little bit more on this next week, inshallah ta'ala. If Allah gives us tawfiq and hayati. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر لا إله إلا الله ما أشد مرض هذا اليوم اللهم أجرنا من زمهرير جهنم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.